Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And this is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films, Film and Stuff, and, of course, Deviant Legion Network. And tonight we're going to be doing our Oscar Redux and just talk about the Oscars that happened on Sunday. And with me today, always a pleasure, we have Miss Vicki Love with us. Hello, Vicki.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone.
And we have our professor with us, otherwise known as the host of Cathode Ray Emission, and that would be Adam Ferenz. Hello, Adam.
Hey there, guys.
So we had the Oscars on Sunday. Now, I posted, I did not watch the Oscars, okay? Not live, anyway. I caught most of it on Monday morning, you know, all of the major things and so on and so forth. I was actually doing a show with TC on the network that day. But I do want, you know, to talk about it, talk about who won and so on and so forth in the presentations, who we were rooting for, and some of the feedback and kickback that has happened since the Oscars. So the first thing I want to talk about is basically, what did you think of Jimmy Kimmel? We'll start with Vicki on this.
Okay. Jimmy Kimmel has always been a hit-and-miss type person with me until recently. Because I am now retired and have more time to check things out, I have watched much more of Jimmy Kimmel. And his interviews with people that I really like, and also monologues. And I'm not as anti-Jimmy Kimmel as I used to be. And so when they announced it's Jimmy Kimmel who's going to do the hosting, I thought it was a good choice because I don't know if you guys know about his running gag with oh shit, my brain just went blank. Who was the star of The Martian? Who's that?
Matt Damon.
He has this running gag going with Matt Damon, and I think it's a couple of years now, where he pretends like he absolutely hates him, and that everyone else hates him, and that Matt Damon is a really terrible guy. Yeah, and so that whole thing, knowing that, watching bits and pieces of it throughout the past 6 months or so, definitely I've changed my mind. I think that Jimmy Kimmel was the perfect host for the Oscars after the slap. That's what I think.
Okay, so I'm just going to put my 2 cents worth in before we go to Adam. I'm much more a Stephen Colbert fan than Jimmy Kimmel, but I have been watching Kimmel, and I thought he did an excellent job. I think, you know, in the terms of what happened with the slap and how it was handled briefly, but very, very really good, solid, sharp little jokes and that sort of thing. Some of it fell flat, like the questions to the Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Prize winner and such. There's some of it did fall flat, but, you know, that's...
Oh, like Malala?
Yeah.
Malala. Yes.
She looked totally bewildered, like, why the hell am I having to put up with this shit?
Yeah, she's... I don't even know why they had her there. It seems like an odd choice to invite her there. That's her life is not fluff and elitism. So that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
That was probably not Kimmel.
I thought in general, though, that Kimmel did a decent job, okay? You know, not the best, certainly not the worst. So that was my thing. Adam,
word.
I know. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I want to go back to Johnny Carson. That's me. But Adam, what do you think? What did you think of Kimmel?
Well, you know, I'm pretty much going to co-sign on what you guys said. I do want to add that, you know, since it came out the day after, that the Academy wasn't exactly completely happy with Kimmel because they expressly told him no politics, no this, no that, no mentioning the slap, and yet he did it all, and a lot of it worked. Some of it, as we said, didn't, but a lot of it did. At least to varying degrees. You know, I have to say I thought he did a good job hosting. I'm not going to say a great job, but it was a very good job hosting. You know, after years of no host or simply the wrong hosts, it was nice feeling like, oh, I don't know, maybe the show was back in professional hands.
No.
Oh, it was. It was. You know, so, Tiger was there. He was there. That was his show.
Yep. You know, it was like I said. It's nice. It's nice knowing that. But not only because they could do something to fix the Emmys, but I think the only thing they could do there is kind of what they started to do here. You know, and I do want to mention this, and I do wonder if this wasn't Kimmel as host and bringing in his writers. You know, part of the problem with the last few Oscars is those interminable fucking jokes, these bits, these long, drawn-out bits that turn into these stunts and these full acts. And it's why a lot of people at first thought that the slap was a bit and then realized, oh, my God, that was genuine. You know, we didn't see that this year. I mean, there were still jokes and everything, and that's fine, a little bit of silly, stupid banter, whatever. But it wasn't as egregiously bad as in years past. There was one that I both loved it and loathed it, and that's where Hugh Grant had to compare himself to a scrotum because of the lack of moisturizer that he supposedly doesn't use.
Right.
And the fact that the man he was able to deliver that with a straight face, can we give him a hosting job one day? I mean, it couldn't hurt, right?
Right. You know, he did do that really well. Kind of a deadpan, but he is a deadpan in his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he did that. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know he was going to say scrotum. I could tell the setup of the joke his point was going to be. But yeah, it made it funny by using the word scrotum, and he did it in such a way that it didn't seem funny coming out of his mouth. So yeah, it was great.
Right.
But I'm with you as far as the whole, you know, these stupid skits that they were doing for the longest time. That's one of the reasons why I haven't watched the Oscars in years. This year I watched it. I wanted to see, I just feel like this year was the everyman year, the year when the little people and not the elite of Hollywood were going to win awards, and I wanted to see that. And Jimmy Kimmel, of all people, is also considered in the comedy realm kind of the everyman. So they were trying.
Yeah, they did try. Whether or not they fully succeeded, I guess we probably all have our opinions on, and it sounds like we're probably, you and I, on the same wavelength here. But So Carl, I guess you have another question for one of us.
Oh, absolutely, I do. So before we get to the nominees, okay, and talk about that, did you have any preferences going into the Oscars? Like, who did you want to win? You know, and of course, we all know that Everything Everywhere All at Once did basically sweep, but we'll talk about that a little later. I just want to know if you had any specific people you were rooting for.
Yeah, I definitely did. I will say that for a myriad of reasons, and I hate to use this word, but I needed to see Brendan Fraser win. I would have been very happy with Colin Farrell or Bill Nighy, but I kind of needed to see Brendan Fraser win. I was really rooting, although I thought that there was a chance that the pupils could take it for short action film. I am really, really happy that An Irish Goodbye took it, not least of which because it led to that wonderful moment where they sang the gentleman happy birthday.
Right,
you know,
that was great.
Yeah, I loved it. I had my preferences. I will say that amongst my group of friends, no one else believed that it was going to be three winners from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Right.
But I thought so, and I was really happy, for all of them. And, while I think that Jamie Lee Curtis probably was my second or third in that category, I'm glad that she got recognized because, you know, that's a part that, she went broad, but she didn't go as broad as she could have gone in it. It was great seeing those three win. Acting nominees. And I will say this: I also really wanted to see Sarah Polley win for screenplay, and she did. So there.
Yeah, that was good.
How about
too.
You, Beck? Did you have any favorites?
Well, I definitely wanted Michelle Yeoh to win, okay? That was – everything else was I felt from past disappointments, I just felt, you know, this is me not choosing, okay? I don't want to choose because I don't want to get all
excited.
Upset over it.
Yep.
And, yeah, excited but upset over it. But I will tell you this, I was very much scared that bastard, whom I hate very much, Donahue, didn't win. He won nothing. He won no directing. He won no screenplay. He won nothing. And I'm very, 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 very happy about that.
Well, I have to say something about...
I think he's an awful person.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to say something about this here. I don't like him as a person. I have had major fucking problems with every single one of his films, including this one, which I actually really liked, Banshees. But I'm going to say this. I think his brother, who also has done some films with Brendan Gleeson, Calvary and The Guard, has way more talent than he does. And I am still offended at a lot of the material in Three Billboards because it doesn't really understand just how deep and hard and casual racism is in this country. It treated it
right.
like a statement instead of, and it treated it almost flippantly, and that really bothered me, and I had some trepidation going into Banshees. Ultimately, I really, really liked Banshees, probably in spite of McDonough, probably because, I mean, Jesus, those are four of my favorite actors right now, have been
right.
for a while.
Right.
Probably
the actors are what made you like the film because his main, what it seemed to be, protagonist was an awful, awful human being. And we, throughout the entire story, we as an audience keep being drawn to this man as if what he is doing is the right thing to do. Oh, poor guy. He's going to blame his friend, his situation, everything, because he never wrote the great song. So his blame on everyone was overshadowed by this this horrible thing he was doing to this man who thought he was his friend all his life. So the actors taking those roles and doing what they did with them raised this story way above where it should be. And so, yes,
and that's why
right.
all those actors were up for awards. You know,
yes,
Brendan
right.
Gleeson,
yes, no, the acting
as much
was
as you
incredible
hate that
in that film.
God, he's incredible in that film. And
all
same
of
with
them.
Colin Farrell. Yeah, all of them. Barry O'Keegan and I forget the woman's name, but
Colin
seriously.
Farrell had a good year. He had like 3 or 4 movies, and he was superb in all of them this year.
Yes, he was.
Did
you see that Android movie? I can't think of the name of it now.
Was it After Yang?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was in 3 really good movies, and he did really good.
Well, he was also, you know, because he was the Penguin in the Batman, which I
right,
wasn't sure
right.
how that was going to work without them letting Penguin have his cigar, but turned out he pulled it off and was the best thing about the whole movie.
I just think that he was the best thing about it,
and I could have done without the ending with the bombs. I think that last 20 minutes or so kind of killed the momentum. I think it would have been a damn fine movie rather than just a good one had it ended right there. But that's just me. Those are just my preferences.
No, you know what? I had that same feeling because it kind of took it out of what the rest of the movie was about, the rest of the story, the rest of what was going out. The tone changed with that.
Right. It went from this detective story to, okay, it's going to be an action movie after all. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You could see some exec said, well, where are all the bombs? This is Batman.
I bet you it was Walter Hamada. Or maybe it was Zaslav. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, guys, I'm going to keep going on this, okay? Because I haven't talked about, you know, who I was rooting for. And,
you were rooting
and
for Bill Nighy and everybody else
for
the 70s.
No, but I was I wanted everything everywhere all at once to win all the way through. But,
I was happy.
You know,
I was really happy
for that. You know, and I was very, very glad about that. But when we get to actor, I just need to let people know, I knew he had no chance, okay? But I don't care, he's fucking Bill Nighy. And so I was rooting for Bill Nighy. I mean, I was fine with Brendan Fraser, would have been fine with Colin Farrell, but I was rooting for Bill Nighy. And I know I've not seen Elvis, but everyone who's seen it tells me that
Austin
Butler
was
a great job, too.
Fucking fantastic. He was.
Austin Butler was amazing in there. The fact that he did his own singing, even though when they had older Elvis, they had to modulate the voice a little bit. It was a great performance in what was otherwise a pedestrian film with a literally embarrassing Tom Hanks performance.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Okay, I will say this. I was rooting against Ana de Armas. I hated that movie. Absolutely despised Bond.
It is a bad movie.
The other thing I want to say particularly is that on the best song, Not Two, I was so thrilled that won for the simple fact that you're representing a different culture. You're representing Bollywood. And plus, I thought RRR, and I know you and I disagree on this a bit, Adam, I thought it was an absolute blast, and I loved every minute of it. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, that song, that's the first song in years that won Best Original Song that deserved it, in my opinion.
You know, every once in a while they do pick a good one. I'd have to see the last few years. I think when what was it? Was it 2018? I know that song from A Star Is Born won, and I thought that was actually a pretty good song, and I was glad that Gaga got her Oscar for that. I know that few years, before, about a decade before that, Falling Slowly from Once won the Oscar, and that's a beautiful, beautiful song. So, you know,
yeah,
every once in a while they do pick a really good or worthy song, but, you know, most times it's just whatever the most popular song of the year was.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I had to say. Now, I'm going to get back to Everything Everywhere All at Once. And as I said, I was looking for everyone to win, and I was more than happy that they won so many Oscars. First off, what did you think? And then if you know anything about the kickback with Jamie Lee Curtis, I want to talk about that afterwards too. So what did you think of Everything Everywhere All at Once, and did it deserve all its Oscars?
I guess I'll go again.
Go ahead.
Did it deserve all its Oscars? I can't say that it didn't deserve those Oscars. Like I said, it ended up it's bounced between third and fourth for me on the year. I have two and sometimes three other films ahead of it. It depends on how I'm feeling about Decision to Leave. My top two films were The Whale and Apollo 10 and a half, and no way in fuck the Academy was going to honor those movies with top awards. I'm glad it won. I think it also helps prove that, you know, Parasite wasn't a fluke, that Moonlight wasn't a fluke, that the Academy can embrace films with a more diverse cast. And they can also do something they have never done before. They've honored a fantasy film, but it has a literary pedigree.
Right.
And it has an academic pedigree in the form of Lord of the Rings. This is the first sci-fi film to win Best Picture. Let's just think about that. And let's think about all the sci-fi films, the great ones that have come out. The ones that have been nominated, the ones that haven't been nominated, Solaris, Gattaca, let's think about the last great one that was nominated, Arrival. It didn't win. And this did, and it's about damn time. It's about damn time.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
What about you, Vic?
What, am I happy that everyone...
Oh, yeah.
One from that it was like
almost
a home run. Yeah, it was I didn't want to say sweep. I want to say home run. Baseball starting, and I know you know, Carl.
Yes, I do know.
The Pirates aren't going anywhere this year, Carl.
I know, but George, say give George a hug for me and say happy baseball for her.
I will. She's excited. The thing is that I think that the feeling is like, oh, this was a fluke, because it was such a fantastic film. Hollywood is very woke. The people who wrote this story are very woke. It's kind of like catching the last wave of the woke movement, because it's going to crescendo and fall, because people are going to start making those boring, old, crappy drama films again. You know it's going to happen. That's where the money always goes.
Well, we're going to go back to shit like Top Gun again.
Well, I liked this Top Gun. I watched it.
I liked
it.
When I say it's shit, I mean stuff like, you know, where it's just kind of average,
no,
but fun entertainment. Don't get me started
I'm
on Avatar
about,
and how much I hated that.
Yeah. But see, that's where the money went. It went one of the favored directors, all right? I don't care what he does, and you guys could talk forever about all the things he has done that are wrong. He still gets all the money.
Yes, he does.
Okay? And that's – the studios aren't changing. And so I love the fact that finally sci-fi got something, got some recognition. But you don't hear them talking about, oh, sci-fi, yes, great genre, I think we'll do more of those. No, you don't hear that. So I think that they're going to say this is a fluke and that, you know, later on, not tomorrow, not next year, because all the, like I said before, this is the everyman. This is the working class. The working class actors won the awards. The working class directors won the awards. It wasn't the elite. There were hardly any elite there anyway. And what was really striking is that, what's her name? I should have their names up here somehow, some way, so I could refer to them. But Kate Blanchett, you know, she came alone. Her husband wasn't with her, and her husband always goes to the Oscars with her. You know, she came alone. She had one seat and one seat only. And the thing is that this, and I'm not trying to call her one of those elite bad people, but I'm trying to say that I'm thrilled that this movie won. I'm thrilled for all the actors that won. Jamie Lee Curtis, she probably just deserved an award for everything she's ever done. Same with Michelle Yeoh. And also, what's his name? Key, I always forget his name. Yeah. You know, he's done a lot of movies that people love. And then look at Brendan Fraser. So,
can I just say about Ki-Hoo Kwan, when he said, and I want to give a shout-out to my Goonies brother forever, Jeff Cohen, I was like, that may be the best ever thank you to my agent.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, Chunk from Goonies is Data from Goonies' agent.
Right. And the thing is that he's, you know, his whole speech was about, I used to, when I was teaching school, half of my students were the children and grandchildren of the Vietnamese boat people that came over.
Yep.
And to see this award on Sunday night is really a really great thing. But I still think that the Hollywood elite and the studios that have the money are going to say, this is a fluke. We're going to go back to our drama because we like drama. And I am talking about, you know, like, I don't know. I can't think of anything now.
The King's Speech, maybe? You know, those type of
there you go. That's a...
Yeah, you know, and I thought the King's Speech was okay, but it's not what I think of when I think Oscar movies. But, you know, my idea of an Oscar movie or what I think should win an Oscar movie, not necessarily what does or what the Academy wants to win, are definitely two different things.
Yeah. I want to come in and speak a little bit to what Vicki said. The big studios are not going to change, but let's not forget that Moonlight, that Everything Everywhere All at Once is A24.
Which I've had my eye on from the beginning. I love that company.
I love A24. I love them. When I see their come up, man. What?
I also love Blumhouse, too. These small studios that are doing smaller films and focusing on quality, I think, are really,
And
Annapurna
was pretty good, too, there for a bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing is I just want... your opinion. I read a number of articles where, you know, people were taken aback that Angela Bassett didn't win Best Supporting, and that Jamie Lee didn't deserve it. Well, one thing I do want to say about that before I give it to you two is that Everything Everywhere All at Once was on a tidal wave, and when there's a tidal wave, it carries everyone. So you shouldn't be surprised that Jamie Lee Curtis, and you shouldn't be disappointed. You know, as far as Angela Bassett, she had two great films. She was up for Best Actress. She should have won for at least one of them.
Well, I'll say this, Vicki, I've taken the last two, so please take point on this.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is what I think. If your favorite actress didn't win and somebody else won, that's one thing to be disappointed. But this is a tough industry, and it is a popularity contest in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So how dare you be angry at the person? And then also, when you look at it, when you open it up and you see it's this woke thing. Now, I'm not saying that people that are absolutely positively trying to change the world in grassroots ways and in big ways, there is this one thread of woke that says our way or no way. And that's where this controversy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's our way or no way. And in that our way, they're not looking for a diversity. They're not looking for everybody's chance. They're looking for one specific thing they want. And you know what? I like Jamie Lee Curtis in that movie. And I saw the Wakanda movie, too, and I just think that I would have voted for Jamie Lee Curtis. And I love Angela Bassett. Carl, weren't we talking about when should she have won?
How Stella got her groove, and what's Love got to do with it? She'd have won for both, without a doubt.
And you know, I'll say this: I changed my vote when people asked me, "Hey, what are your predictions this year?" I changed my vote from Carrie Condon to Jamie Lee Curtis because I said I just can't get over that SAG win, and I think she's going to win. And some people said, "Well, do you think she should win?" And I said, "I think she'll be a deserving winner when it happens." But you want my opinion? I still think her best work ever is in a comedic role in Trading Places.
Oh, yeah. You know, I thought that Condon was really good, too. I thought that she really had a great performance. And through her, that movie is saved. And through Colin Farrell's acting, that movie is saved. But there was, like Carl said, there was this wave, this tsunami. And sometimes that's what happens. And
yep.
To disregard the actor or actress who won something and to be so mean about it, that is totally the opposite of what your whole woke thing is about. And so you are trampling upon your own self when you are not holding your tongue and saying, yay, the best person won. When you're actually calling it racist. So that whole controversy to me is almost fake in its sincerity.
Understood. Now as we go on and talk about other categories, are there any movies that you felt were left out? Now, one thing you mentioned, and I agree, Adam, is Apollo 10 and a Half. That should have been up for Best Animated.
And you know, it would have been, I mean, they weren't going to give it to anything but Pinocchio this year, although I think that Marcel, the Shell with Shoes On, may actually have been the animated film, the traditional animated, well, not traditional, but the animated film of the year in terms of what was nominated. But, yeah, Apollo 10 and a Half, it's an animated movie. It's also probably my second favorite Linklater film. I thought it was absolutely amazing. It blew my fucking socks off.
It did, me too. And I know a lot of people don't like rotoscoping and that sort of thing. But it's not just the technique. It was what was being said and so on and so forth. And that, to me, was one that I felt was really left off. Another possibility, and I got to say this, and I want your opinions on it. For Best Actress, I would have never had Ana de Armas. Okay, would have never done that. I would have put Mia Goth in there.
I would have too. I would have too. I probably would have put her in there for Pearl, which might be a slightly better film than X. It's really too bad that we can't nominate someone for two films when they're basically this, you know, it's basically one big performance. but in what amounts to a two-part film. But hey, who knows? There is XXX or whatever the hell they're going to call it. Maxine. Yeah, Maxine with three X's is coming up. If it's as good or better than the last two, and it's going to take a hell of a lot to equal or top Pearl. You never know. But the thing is horror is not respected at the Oscars. It just isn't, and
no.
That's a shame. And I think that's why it took Jamie Lee Curtis so long. After Halloween and all that, you know, people called her a scream queen, even though that really wasn't what she was. And then she tried to do a lot of comedies and stuff. And again, that's not something Oscar tends to like, comedies. So that's why it took her so long to get her Oscar. There were just a bunch of people I would have put in there. But I also think that this is, you know, I just will say I think there also needs to be a category at the Oscars for featured performer. And that's somebody that comes in, and I'm not talking about a small supporting part like Judd Hirsch where he gets three quick scenes in about 8 minutes of time. I'm talking about somebody like Samantha Morton in The Whale, where she gets like 12 to 15 minutes in one big scene. It might have been that. It might not even have been that. It might have felt like that because she's just so powerful in that scene. Or Anjanue Elise in that one scene where she's there for like 2 or 3 minutes in If Beale Street Could Talk. We really need a featured category so that some of these supporting actors and actresses that only really have kind of cameos can move to that category, and some of the people that are in lead that should be in supporting can go there, and then we'll have space for our leads. I really think we need that. I also think that if they're insisting on having 10 pictures, which I'm all for, I think we need to expand acting, writing, directing to 6 or 7 nominees.
Okay.
I agree that we should expand the nominations from whatever it is now to 10 films, 10 people, 10 whatever in each category to recognize the work that's being done out there. The screenwriters, the adapted screenwriting, all of that. There are a lot of people that are working really hard. It should not. And then I just have to go back to that elitism thing. When we look at The Godfather, okay, I know every male on this planet loves The Godfather and The Godfather 2, and it is the greatest film ever made, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? There are a bunch of us that don't think it's the greatest film ever made, and there are many reasons why we don't think it's the greatest film ever made, but we'll give you that. But there were other films that year made that were fantastic, that were wonderful, that were worth it, along with every single year. And yet, over and over again, all we get are the male films, the male point of view, and these categories with a few men nominated. Now, I'm sounding kind of sarcastic and everything, and I'm sincere when I say this. If you have to open up each category to 10 nominees, then you have to start looking at all the good films, not just the elite good films.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
But and you know, the thing is, I'm glad we're getting international films up in Best Picture. You know, I loved All Quiet on the Western Front, but, you know, you ask me, there were two or three non-English language films I preferred ahead of that one, including Bardo and Decision to Leave. I also thought that, you know, in some ways, Close and maybe even EO could have been better. But that's not to say that any of them were, you know, that All Quiet wasn't a great film. But I think that, you know, we need to see more comedies nominated because we need to encourage people to stop, and I'm going to use this term, ghettoizing comedy. We need to stop putting comedy into this thing. I mean, and it's like people say, well, this is really a video game. You know, that's not nice. And that's wrong.
Right.
That takes the idea that, you know, video games aren't capable of being a solid storytelling format or a great form of entertainment or art. And I'm not going to get into that because I'm sorry, Roger Ebert was wrong. But you know, there's just so much that film can offer. And it's not just Chocolat, The King's Speech, My Fair Lady, West Side Story, and The Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of those are great movies, but, you know, it's way more than that.
Yeah, I would very much like to be able to sway people that science fiction is the best way that you can get your point across, whatever you want to write about. But they won't listen because science fiction was tagged 100 years ago as a juvenile, an adolescent entertainment genre. And it still can't get rid of that wrong definition.
Yep, despite old Hugo Gernsback saying, you know, it's speculative fiction. It's fiction to make you think about science and our place in the world and the universe. You know, despite all of Hugo's work, and there's a reason we call the Hugo Awards the Hugo Awards, people just cluck their tongues, shake their heads, roll their eyes, and close their ears and hearts and minds.
Right, right, right. And so, and you know what, no matter what anyone thinks about Top Gun, I'm really glad that it was nominated. And the reason why is because it also, it's not science fiction, but it's pure entertainment. It's pure popcorn entertainment. And if I go to the movies, you know what, the studio's out there. I'm not looking for catharsis, okay? I can do that. I have streaming services for that, okay? I don't need to go to the movies and cry my eyes out. That era is over. I don't need it, and I don't want it, and I'm not going to spend my $50, which it's almost $50 now for one person to go see a movie. That is them saying Top Gun, popcorn entertainment at its best, deserves recognition.
Agreed.
Well, I just have to say I agree there, and I am just so glad that other than visual effects, Avatar got skunked because, you know, whereas I thought the first movie was fun, I hate-watched this one. I sat there. And I'm thinking to myself, I need to go. I need to leave. I need to not be here watching this. This is fucking terrible. This is offensive on so many levels. This is stupid. This is miserable. There's nothing here redeeming. I know people love it. I know people say, oh, but it's not, but it's this, but it's that. And the thing is, yes, it is a racist movie. Is there cultural appropriation? Yes and no. And no, but it's got way more problems than it doesn't. There is a film about colonization and issues of cultural appropriation, and a film which deals with the same issues and themes that Cameron fucked up, that was a far, far, far better film. And that's Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. Within the first 10 minutes of Wakanda Forever, maybe 15, I was like, okay, this is already doing everything Avatar 2 thought it was doing, only it's succeeding.
Well, see? Yeah, like I said earlier, James Cameron, the money goes to him.
Yeah, and
no,
you
matter
know, the thing is, the man
can...
has, what, three of the top four grossing movies of all time.
Right, right. The money goes to him. The top
money and shit roll uphill.
Yes, yes. You know, here's a movie that I was really shocked didn't get any recognition at the Oscars, and that was Nope, because it is such an imaginative.
Especially after Us, which I didn't like.
Yeah, well, I really liked Nope, and it's very imaginative, you know, and Jordan Peele is kind of a darling in Hollywood. They like him. And yet the entire Academy snubbed him. And it's like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, you know, there was a moment early in the year where I was like, ooh, is Nope going to get up? And then no pun intended, but
yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, every year there's always those nominations that you wish would have happened.
Right.
I'm still going to go. I mean, I've mentioned The Whale, but the one that I really wish had gotten up, I really wanted to see Park Chan-wook go up for Decision to Leave. This was just a great year for international films. People say, well, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. Yeah, it is. Folks, let's just watch what's out there. You know, there's a whole world of cinema beyond what Hollywood makes.
Right.
Well, there's independent cinema here. There's regional micro-budget stuff. There's no-budget stuff. And
yeah, that's us.
mm-hmm. And there's stuff outside the United States. I mean, how many people remember that Corita had a new film this year, Broker, which is one of his best movies. Park Chan-wook did Decision to Leave, which may be his best film. We had Iñárritu with Bardo, which is in his top two or three. The list goes on and on and on. It was a great year. And if Jerzy Skolimowski ends his career with Io, as he very well might, you know, coming out of retirement to do this movie and probably going right back into it, that's a hell of a grace note.
Oh, I haven't seen can't wait to see it.
It's on Criterion Channel if you have Criterion Channel. And if you don't have Criterion Channel, get it just to watch that movie. There's a lot of great stuff on Criterion, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I want to get on to two other things before we go. I know you, Adam, saw all the documentaries. I'm talking feature documentaries now.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen and I have always had this issue with that particular section of the Academy because it seems so insular. Now,
it is.
I will, and it doesn't really reflect, I think, what a lot of the, you know, amateur or you know, the casual fan is looking for. And the one thing that I really, really felt really bad about was that there was a wonderful, wonderful documentary that came out on Netflix. It was a Netflix original. It came out right before the end of the year, called Senior. And it's about Robert Downey Sr., who's a film director, who at the point when he started with his son, Robert Downey Jr., to do it, they were going to co-direct it. But as it went on, you found out that Sr. Had Parkinson's, and you saw basically the downhill slide and how that affected the family and that. I literally was crying at the end of that film. And not one friggin' word from the Academy.
No.
You know, and
you know,
I think
they
look at
good.
Issues.
Oh,
hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
I think they look at issues as opposed to something that really affects the emotional core.
Because Fire of Love is not an issue. It's about a couple.
It's a story about two people.
Yeah, it's about two people. And I was amazed because I loved it. If it's got volcanoes, I'm going to watch it, okay? And so this is just the way it is. I love volcanoes since I was like in fourth. So anyway, this is a story about these two unlikely people who have this fascination, love for, and determination to become volcanologists, right? And they're very singular human beings, and they meet, and they fall in love. And so neither one goes anywhere without the other, and the way they die inside the fucking volcano together is, like, amazing, and this little film was nominated, and I the short film, The Elephant Whisperer, I was like amazed.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
absolutely
I love that.
Amazed.
I love that. My wife and I watched it, and she was in tears at the end of it. But you know, the thing is, this is another category where you expand it to say 7, 8, even 10 nominees. We could have had Senior. We probably would have had The Janes, some combination of The Janes, Bad Axe, Hallelujah. Now my personal choice for the best documentary I saw this year was All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. I am an All the Beauty and the Bloodshed supporter. I usually don't go for the front runner here. This time I did. I thought Navalny was awesome. Navalny has a couple of scenes in it where you're like, wait, okay, I'm watching this. This is genuine. This is not staged. This is absolute proof that they did this to this guy. Holy fucking shit. All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, it's such a great movie. It made number 8 on my list this year. Number 8.
That's awesome.
On my list.
It's awesome.
And the thing is The Whale crushed me emotionally. The only other movie to hit me emotionally this year was All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. It is a movie that goes beyond just being what we think of as a documentary where it tells a story and covers a subject or an event. It's a confession that is a chronicle of more than one thing. It's more than just the opioid crisis. It's more than AIDS. It's more than art. It is, I'm going to use it, as a transcendent work, and it really needs to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will definitely check these out. I just wanted to mention that, particularly in terms of Stephen and I have always talked about it, but I want to go on with one other thing before we start wrapping up here. And that's the In Memoriam. There is a lot of pushback. And I want to hear what you guys
think. Once again, TCM remembers did it better. I'll say it once again.
Oh,
TCM
yeah,
remembers does it better.
Yeah, TCM always does it better. Yes. Always.
Yeah, and also the SAG. I watched the SAG one. The SAG Awards, the In Memoriam, and that was great too. But there were so many people left off. Now, I can understand DePaul, and I can understand a couple of these other people that just passed away in the last week or 2 weeks because they've already got it prepared. But, you know, Fred Ward, Philip Baker Hall, Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, how do you leave out Paul Sorvino? How do you leave out, even though I wasn't a fan of her, how do you leave out Van Heesch?
Right. How do you leave off the people that they left off? There's a long list, and it's just really shocking. absolutely shocking. I know, you know, I do like the fact that they are showing makeup artists and set designers, all these other people, screenwriters, and, you know, they're showing the whole group
of coordinators.
Yes, yes, all those people. But they're not doing anybody any justice when they're using those people to shove out other people. Why not? Why couldn't Lenny Kravitz write a longer song? Come on. Why is he going? Here's the other thing. This really pissed me off. I hated it. Why did they stop showing us this reel of the people who passed away and go and show us Lenny Kravitz playing the piano and singing
like
his
30
song.
Seconds.
You know, that's ridiculous. If I was the one chosen to do the music for the memoriam, I would feel so fucking honored to highlight these people and their lives that I wouldn't want the camera ever on me. Not once. Not
one. Well, you know, remember a few years ago when Johnny Legend did it? He actually said that. He said, I can't believe they cut to me like they did.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. It's like an
affront. You know, the other
it's
thing,
like
too.
A disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, I want to just mention, I didn't like the split screen at all.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like it. They weren't showing scenes from the movies that you could, you know, grasp on to who this person was.
Oh, that
right?
was, you know what? That was their cost cutting. That cost an editor. An editor has to come in and do that. I mean, instead of just still shots and somebody writing little, you know, this is their name, this is who they were, you
Kevin
have to
Rommel
have an
used
editor.
To do those things, and he doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
know
you know what? Because it costs money for an editor to go in and do that. And shame
you
on
know,
them,
the, thing, too,
the richest people ever, not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing, too, I thought, you know, they put all the categories back, which I think is a good thing. They ran over 3 hours, which I doesn't bother me. But why not another 10 minutes for the in memoriam and to do it right?
And here's another
why
thing.
Not?
Do we really need to have so much of the show devoted to the five songs? Because I swear to motherfucking God, it feels like they devote 20% of the show every year to those five fucking songs. And most of those five fucking songs are fucking terrible.
Well, yeah, I agree. So I gotta say, I love the dance-off from the RRR guys. I love that little bit with Kimmel. And I loved what they did with that. And, of course, you know, that's the song I wanted to win. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's way too much. Didn't a couple of years ago that they did they did sort of like a medley of the songs?
They've done
that
a
couple years ago.
Yeah, but people get pissed off about that.
They did
people
that back in the
90s
once, and then they did that back, I think, around like 2009 or 10. People got pissed off. Me, I loved it because I was like, oh, thank God. But, you know, you mentioned
seriously.
You mentioned the Oscars running too long. I remember the year that Steve Martin hosted the Oscars. It came in 3 minutes early, and he was like, "Whoa, we're done, and it's not even midnight. It's not 11. Well, good night, folks." He was as shocked as anybody.
Yeah.
So one other thing I do want to just go over was there. Okay, so they didn't have a red carpet. They had a I don't know what color that carpet was, but you know that's all that hoopla. That pre-Oscar hoopla. Did you have any favorite moments or anything like
that? I don't watch that shit.
I watched it while I was cooking. I spent my whole day in the kitchen and had it on. So I was watching, and I was watching for – because you know who I miss? I miss – what's her name? Joan Rivers. Yes, and her talking about the dresses and the way people are dressed. But ABC, you couldn't see the people coming in with their spouses or their kids or whoever. They had a staging area, and I really hated it. They had that Oscar background with the, you know, the statue, and it was a staging area where people could go and take their pictures, and they could pose with their clothing. And so it was like a fashion show. And so it took all the fun of the fashion out of it. I was really disappointed. Boo on ABC. Terrible job.
Yeah, well, just another way Disney fucks things up.
Yeah, and you know what? What's wrong with the red carpet? Huh? Is that racist too? Because that's what I kept thinking. Oh, they keep mentioning the purple carpet. Oh, do they think red carpet is now racist also? When, you know what, the purple carpet was only for royalty. That's kind of messing up here. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, never expect a Lee to understand things. And God, I'm gonna get in trouble here, but I'm just gonna say I have actors that are friends. But I've met other actors, and actors are a funny bunch. A lot of them are very intelligent. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them are very insular. And when you combine insular and a lack of intelligence, you have a dangerous situation, and that goes for any group.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Goes for any group. Any.
So
the most liberal, the most conservative.
Agreed. I want to mention two things about what I saw on the red carpet. Again, I did not watch the Oscars. I was doing a show. So on Monday, I really went down the rabbit hole, and I'm saying that for a reason, by the way, for a moment. But there were two things that really hit me, and I wanted to see what you guys think. Okay, the first thing was the Hugh Grant, the whole thing with the interview that Hugh Grant did where, you know, the interviewer was just like, shall I just say, dumb or didn't understand or you know, things like that. And Hugh Grant, and it's just his look and the way he, you know, that became almost a meme immediately. And so I wondered if you saw that and if you had any thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see that. Like I said, I didn't watch the pre-show.
I only saw half of it, so I didn't really understand what was going on. Because here's the thing with streaming now. My streaming feed in our living area where the kitchen is and family room and everything. And my mom in her room, her stream, they were different. Even though they were both produced by ABC, I had different hosts on mine and she had different hosts on hers. And so I would be going back and forth. Oh, yeah, it was really crazy and also very maddening at times because I only caught a little bit of that. But my mom said something about him, and I go, well, he's always like that. You know, he doesn't like these things, and I bet he's being forced to do it anyway. I mean, why is he there? I don't even know why he's there. Just like Nicole Kidman. It pissed me off to see Nicole Kidman there with her whole family, with her, you know, her adopted son or whoever that was, and her husband who flew in special to see her present an award. Fuck her. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, about wondering why he was there, usually when Harrison Ford gets dragged to these things, he looks like, oh, God, why the fuck am I here? But I know that he said this year he wanted to present this award just in case a certain someone got a win. So I think he really was looking to see Everything Everywhere All at Once win so that he could give a nod to Key.
Well, that's good. I'm not a fan of Harrison Ford. In fact, the only reason why I watch that stupid 1923 is for my mom. Helen Mirren was absolutely fantastic and the best.
Wait. Helen Mirren's in that? I've been avoiding the whole Yellowstone thing because I'm kind of waiting for it to all be done so that I, or at least have a lot of it so I can like binge it. You're telling me she's opposite Harrison Ford in that?
Yes.
Holy fucking shit, how did I miss that?
She carries the whole thing. She is the main character, actually.
I'm
going
to have to watch it. No, I've got to watch it.
Things. But 1883
how can you not watch
is
it?
The 1883 is the best of all of them. It's a miniseries, and it's done so well. And Taylor Sheridan, that's his diamond. That's his, you know, jewel in the crown. Not Yellowstone and not this other abomination. I'm telling you, if you watch that 1923, it's you can have your own opinion. I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Well, you know, I still think Wind River might be the best thing he's done, but wow.
Okay,
maybe.
So I have one other thing I do want to say about the Oscars.
I haven't seen all of Yellowstone, so I haven't seen any of Yellowstone, just trailers, and it looks good, but I'm waiting for it.
Okay. So one other thing I do want to mention, and I didn't realize this until yesterday, so I didn't even see anything on it on Monday. But as I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a Bill Nye fanatic. I love this man. And the whole idea that he brought for his date a small little Babel Book gray rabbit, which I guess is a collectible rabbit in Britain, and he did it for his granddaughter. And just the whole way of doing it. And I'm looking at the picture now, and he's pointing at the rabbit with his middle finger, by the way. And the rabbit has some sort of like stain on it, which could be berry or ketchup or perhaps blood. The whole thing just shows why I love him so much, because there's this whole sense of play that he's doing, even as he's stone faced. And I just wondered if you had seen that. In fact, I did tag both of you on it. And what did you think of that? And is that like pure Bill Nye? Because I think it is.
Oh, it is.
No, fuck no. It's pure grandpa. Please.
No,
I'd do anything for my
grandchildren. It's I love my kids. I love my family.
Yes, that's what it was. He did it for his granddaughter. Please.
I know he
please.
Did it for his granddaughter.
It's not pure
no,
Bill
Nye. I think it's absolutely adorable, okay?
It is
adorable. And I think he pulls it off.
But anyone would do it. Anyone would show it, and then, you know, it has to go viral, okay? He didn't do it for publicity. He was just showing,
no, I know he didn't.
My date. I'm not here for, you know, I don't have anybody with me. I have this. My granddaughter gave it to me. Blah, blah, blah. And now everyone's like, oh, look at this. And someday that little doll's going to be worth, you know, $10 million.
Well, I just think it's perfect. I thought it was perfect. You know, so that's me. And I am prejudiced. I make no bones about it. So there you go.
That's true.
So is there anything else that we have not mentioned about the Oscars that we should before we head off into housekeeping?
Not that Vicky? I can think of right now.
About the Oscars that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't think so.
Okay.
We covered a lot
okay.
of things. Oh, wait.
Yes,
I
we
do
did.
Want to say something. Yes. Yes, wait. Because we pretty much skipped over the slap from last year. And you and I were talking about it the other day when we were, you know, you were talking to me about this show. And I did notice, because I noticed everything. I'm sorry, I noticed the fly on the wall. I noticed the freaking flea over there. Okay, when the Oscars last year, they were sitting at those round tables. They were drinking alcohol. They were eating food. They were having a party. This year, they were all stuffed in a theater, one right next to the other, sitting almost right on top of each other. Anyone who sat three seats in could not ever get up to go slap anybody anywhere in that theater. And so the difference between last year's casual, let's party people, to this year, extremely formal, we're going to regulate everything. Even Jimmy Kimmel has a muzzle on. It was extremely different. You want to see the difference between let it all hang out and formal Oscars? Watch last year's, watch this year's. That's what I forgot
point.
To say.
I'd forgotten when you talked about that. You know, I had said maybe, you know, that the Oscars overcompensated a bit because of that when we were having our conversation. And they tend to do that. Oh, we had this big brouhaha last year, so we got to make sure that doesn't happen, blah, 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 right?
Right.
And that's
they
why they redesigned it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You could tell. You could tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good call, Vic. Good call.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. So if that's all that we've got, I'm going to do a quick housekeeping here. So tomorrow on Deviant Legion, we're going to have our St. Patrick's Day commentary watch, and Rachel and I will be watching and commenting on The Secret of Roan Inish, which is a wonderful, cool. wonderful family drama that's set in Ireland. And it's screenplay and directed by John Sayles. It's a wonderful film. And I invite everyone to watch that. Okay. Now, on Friday, why don't you tell us what's happening at Cathode Ray Mission?
Yes, on Cathode Ray Mission this Friday, we're going to be looking at the career of George Lucas. And it's going to be, of course, our traditional director spotlight. But the thing with Lucas, of course, is he hasn't really directed that many films. Yeah, he's directed a few, but he's known more as a producer and a mogul and an idea man, and that's what we're going to get into. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to do a show on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles as kind of a companion piece to the Lucas thing, because that's his big TV series that he produced. So the Lucas show is coming up on the 17th, and then on the 31st, we're doing Young Indiana Jones.
Okay, that sounds great, man.
Yeah,
forward to
awesome.
That. So on Sunday, we have Rock This Town Radio with TC, and he's going to do his St. Paddy's Day show. It's going to be all Irish music, all rock and roll, and just a good old party time. So we're going to really enjoy that particular show. And then on Monday, I have a very, very special announcement. Deviant Legion is proud to promote the upcoming New York City Science Fiction Film Festival on March 25th. And our special guest for that show is the founder and director of the festival. His name is Daniel Abella, and he will come on, and we're going to talk about the history of the festival, the awards, and the type of films that are accepted at the festival, and just let everyone know what's going on. This is going to be presented at the Producers Club Theaters at 358 West 44th Street in Manhattan, New York City, again on March 25th, and I will be attending on that. And hopefully the thing is, this is all first-time filmmakers and short films and a couple of feature films. I'll be there most of the day. I'll have to leave a little early. The whole idea here is to get to meet some of these people and hopefully get them on the podcast for Incredibly Strange Films and really help promote what they do. And so I'm very, very glad and happy that the film festival has invited us to promote and attend the festival. So we're looking at that. And Vicki, we had discussed this before. I do want you, if you have the time, to be on that show with us.
Yes.
As a national
filmmaker. I
thought
I already said yes. Huh.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted
as
to make
sure. As a filmmaker. Yes, as a filmmaker.
Yes, as filmmaker, absolutely. And so before we go, Vicki, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and just give us a little update on things.
We're just in pre-production, and we don't have the music yet, so that's a big thing coming up. And the special effects are, I'd say, two-thirds of the way finished. Editing is further along, if you can believe that, without the music and all the special effects. But a lot of it doesn't have a lot of special effects. So it's actually moving along quite well. And here's the frustrating thing for me, since I'm producer of this, I'm not really involved in any of that. And so we have one more studio for overlay to do, and then that's it for me. I don't have anything other than applying to the film festivals, and that's going to them and seeing people's reaction. So, no, I have the premiere. I have the premiere to plan. And the premiere will be June or early July, so I don't know. So that's where we're at.
Okay, and what's the name of it again? Because you keep forgetting to tell us what the name is.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Our film is called Lake. One word, Lake. And if you watch our film, you'll understand why it's called Lake. It is a psychological thriller, sci-fi adventure.
And here I was thinking that you were doing an independent sequel to Return of the Jedi. You were secretly contracted by Disney to do an alternate set of sequels.
Man, if they would only, right?
No, that is, and trust me, guys, I don't want anybody to think that I'm one of those Star Wars fans that wants the new sequels to be redone. I actually thought the first two, The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, were actually fun. I just really did hate the last one, and I don't want it to be erased from existence or anything. I don't want, a do-over or anything. I just wish it had not gone the way it did, because I was just disappointed that they actually listened to the fans. As a fan, I like to be surprised.
Yeah.
But no, I will look out
there
for
you
a link. You'll have to send us all a link or discs or tell us where it's going to be playing.
I'm not going to be putting it on very many discs, because film festivals want you to submit digitally. And so that saves me a lot of money right there. So you probably have to go to a festival or a small, theater somewhere to see it if it gets picked up. And our distributor, we have this guy who wants to distribute, okay? Sony's already wanted to buy our film. And, they buy a lot of films and then they tank them, okay?
Yeah.
And then they take the stories and use them for their own purposes. And we said no to Sony for that. We just said, no, you can't have our unfinished product. You're not going to buy us out. And so there are people who, once they hear the premise and we talk to them seriously, there are people who want to distribute. So who knows what's going to happen. And if it goes to theater in a limited whatever, I will definitely let everyone know.
There you go.
Well, listen,
I'm...
It all works out. It sounds like it's been a real passion project there.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and
years
we can
and
do.
Years. 2016
anything
to
we
now,
can do,
yes.
Oof.
Yes, it's been a long road.
And to support you and to do, you know, keep doing the, we were doing that whole series on the journal of the movie. So we need to get you back for that. We also have a couple other shows that once Vicki gets through a couple of days here, we'll have more for next week, I'm sure, because we're going to do a part two of our show that we did yesterday, which is Kick-Ass Women for Women's Month. We're going to do that, and that will probably be on next week, too. So, again, I want to thank you, Adam. Thank you, Vicki, for being on with us. And yep. At this point, I think we should just say good night, and thank you very, very much for listening. So thanks a lot, guys, for being with us, and thank you. And let's say good night.
Thanks, everyone, and good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.